Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from Dr. Miles Monroe, provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
The Kingdom Citizenship Success Laws of Marriage. If you are not married, you're going to be glad you're not married. And if you are married, you are going to learn how to stay married. If you've been divorced, you'll probably understand why it happened. So listen carefully today. It covers everybody. I want to focus today on the Kingdom Citizenship Laws of Marriage. We want to rediscover the authority of the marriage covenant. This year, our theme is Kingdom Citizenship Authority. In the Kingdom of God, which is a country, you are a citizen if you are born again. A citizen must live under the authority of the laws of their country. And so what we want to do in this series is to show you the Kingdom's laws concerning marriage. As a citizen, you are obligated to be under God's authority in all areas. I want to begin with what I call the paradox of marriage. And some of you in this room will say amen when I show you the paradox. Here's some paradoxes of marriage. Number one, marriage is the greatest attraction, but also the greatest distraction. Everybody seemed to want to get married. At least most of us have a desire to get married. But the problem is, marriage can become a big distraction to you if you don't do it right. Here's another paradox. The most powerful and most beautiful danger in life is marriage. There's a paradox. How can something be beautiful and dangerous? That's marriage. It's beautiful, but it's dangerous. Here's another paradox of marriage. Marriage is the greatest source of joy, but it's also the greatest source of frustration. Paradox. And there are married couples in this room today who know what I'm talking about. On the wedding day, it was so exciting. And 2 weeks later, you're wondering, did I make a mistake? Joy and frustration. Another paradox. Marriage is the most precious dream you can have. But it can become a nightmare. Overnight. It's a dream and a nightmare. Another paradox. The greatest source of hope is marriage, but it's also the greatest source of fear. Because we are not sure we're going to make it. No one gets married free of butterflies. No matter how much you think you are in love, when you gotta walk down that aisle, your question is, am I going in the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? Do I know what I'm doing? So here is my conclusion. Marriage is an option given by God. What do I mean by that? First of all, marriage was created by God. It is his product. But it's an option. Thank God. Marriage is an option. What does that mean? It means that marriage is not necessary for an individual to fulfill God's will for their lives. You can fulfill God's will and its purpose for your life without being married. So don't spend all your life looking for someone to marry and forget to live God's will. You should be preoccupied fulfilling God's will or preparing to fulfill it rather than consuming your time chasing the prospect of marriage. In other words, marriage is a choice. It's not mandatory. There are many people in history and also biblical characters who did great works for God and were not married. The first thing I said in this session was this: marriage is an attraction, but it is also a distraction. In other words, marriage can enhance your destiny or destroy your destiny. There are people who were doing well until they got married. They were on course with their life. They had their whole vision planned. They had every goal set. They had their career on track. Everything was in order. They were zealous for God. They knew their purpose. They were passionate for their dream. And they were organized. Their life was decent until they got married. And now they are confused. They are depressed. They are lost. They don't know what to do anymore. They're frustrated. Imagine, marriage is so dangerous, it can derail your destiny. I guess my point is, don't take this lightly. If you want to know how dangerous marriage is, read this verse with me. Read Matthew 19:10. The disciples said to Jesus, if this is the situation between husband and wife, I'm talking from the Bible now. The disciples told Jesus, then it's better for a man not to marry. They got a revelation of how complicated it was that day. They said, hey, stay by yourself. They were instructed by Jesus. And their conclusion was, this is dangerous. The most important decision you will ever make next to your salvation is who you plan to live with in marriage. I heard in the past people say, the most important decision you'll ever make is to buy a house. Wrong. Because anyone can buy a house. The trouble is building a home in it. And there are many people here today who will tell you they have a wonderful house. Worked hard for it. Saved up, built it themselves. But they can't live in it. Going home is hell. Don't ever confuse a house with a home. It's easy to build a house. Tough to build a home. They said, stay alone. Look at the response of Jesus in verse 11. Jesus agreed. He says, look, not only is it better for you not to get married, he says, but not everyone can accept this responsibility. Have you ever said that before in the Bible? Look at it. He says, a lot of folks even ain't ready for this. He said, you can't, not everyone, he says, can handle this. That's God talking.
But I'm 30, I'm a woman.
Oh, really?
But I'm 40, I'm a man.
God says, listen, your age ain't got nothing to do with this. Are you ready for this? Let me tell you something, and folks here will testify. No matter how smart you are, marriage will get you. All your degrees mean nothing when you get into marriage. Sometimes I become very intrigued when I meet a psychologist, a PhD, who's been married 3 times. And I'm thinking, I'll never come to you for counsel. Because they think that their education equips them. You ain't no man because you're 40. You're a man when you can live with one woman for 40 years. Then use man, but use man. You go through her hormonal changes. If you survive her flashes, oh yeah. If you survive her saying, don't touch me. If you survive that, use man now, use man. You ain't a man because you're 40. Arturo, keep looking at me, okay? Don't look. No, just keep looking at me. Protect yourself, brother. You know, Jesus says, look, not everyone can accept this. Listen to him. He says, not everybody ready for this. In God's country, you got to be ready for marriage. And age is not the qualification. Here's what marriage is. Marriage is such a beautiful idea. Only God could have thought of it. It's His product. It's God's idea. It was not created by the government or the parliament or Congress. They should not be tampering with God's product. Leave it alone. You know, I like the way manufacturers talk when you buy the product. They always say, do not take this product to an unauthorized dealer to get it fixed. Or we will cancel the warranty and guarantee. Let me tell you something. God canceled many marriages long time ago. He don't guarantee none of those stuff. Because we keep taking it to the wrong people to try to get it fixed. And some of you sitting here today, you are going through silent pain. Because you thought this product could be fixed by the registrar's office. Or maybe the courts can handle this for me. And you wonder, how did I get such pain? It's God's product. Let me give you a quick perspective on marriage. Number one, it is the first institution God created. When you read the Bible does not begin with church. It doesn't begin with government. It doesn't begin with university and education. The first institution God created was marriage. That's important. That means that marriage is the first kingdom institute, which means all other institutes must come from this one. In other words, marriage is the foundation of all relationships. God began it with a single person. He made Adam first. He gave instructions. And so the kingdom of God begins with a single, meeting a single, and they create an institution. The kingdom of God regulates the relationships in the kingdom
by the standards of our government in heaven. I remember I had an old car, Pastor Richard Demis, they called my old car the Green Hornet. You remember that green car I had? Don't laugh at me. I know you remember that car, right? My old broken down car. When I came from college, you know, I was just trying to make life work. And I kept that car together. And that car used to get me around the best it can. A second-hand car. And I took this car to get fixed one time to my friend who was a mechanic. And he couldn't find the part that it needed. So he said, I got to go to the junkyard. And I got to find a car that is similar. And he went and got this part from an old car that was a wreck and forced it on my car. He had to drill new screw holes. Y'all stay right there. They're doing that to your car right now. You're paying money. And he was honest. You know, he said, I can't find the part because they don't make them no more. So I had to make do. Everybody say make do. Let me tell you something. When you get married, you better don't make do. I lost that car because of a small little component that cost nothing. When he forced it on, it was an unauthorized part, not made by the manufacturer. And the car worked beautifully for 3 days. Sounds like some marriages. 3 months, and now you're complaining. I want to go back home. That's how tough it is when you try to take one person's product and try to fix it with someone else's parts. Marriage does not belong to earth. It came from heaven. God married Adam and Eve. So we keep forcing parts on our stuff. And God is saying, it may run for a little bit, but when you start seeing smoke, not just coming out of the exhaust pipe, but coming in the car. That's where the smoke started coming. I'm like, where the smoke coming from? It started filling. I couldn't breathe in the car. Sounds like some relationships. I can't breathe in this house. I need some air. You want to get out. God's institution is only successful by heaven's standards. So write this down, please. A successful marriage is only possible within kingdom culture. It must be within kingdom culture. In other words, God's product must be within His specifications. For example, God made a man and a woman. We're trying to experiment lately. And the thing is, we are so, I want to say stupid, but that's not a good word, so I won't say it. We are so silly that we believe we could debate in a Congress or a Parliament whether a man and a man could get married. I mean, we are so intelligent, we actually debate it. We fight over it. We fight, and God is saying, them parts don't work. This ain't a matter of you, what you think. This ain't your product. One of the most talented men I know in entertainment is a man named Elton John. He's from England. And the other day, Elton John got married to his husband. Sound weird. And I'm reading this article in the USA Today newspaper the other day, and they said, Just the sentence didn't make sense. The sentence says, Elton and his husband. I'm like, something's wrong with the sentence. How do they decide which one is the husband? Help me, Pastor Richard, please. Thank you, God. Help me. I don't know how you decide who's the husband. So I tried to figure out. I kept reading over and over again. And I said, how do they decide that? The parts don't work. My friend, watching this program perhaps, Rosie O'Donnell. Hi, Rosie. Rosie, one day got married. And then another friend of mine is Ellen DeGeneres. She decides she getting married to her wife. The parts don't work. It ain't your product. You can't just decide what marriage is. You buy a car, and you decide one day, this is a tank. You can take it into war. They will blow you off the face of the earth. You decide one day, I bought a car, but today it's going to be a boat. I can drive this off the pier. No problem. Drive. You can't just decide to change a manufacturer's product. Marriage was birthed by God. Let's take a look at it. Genesis 2, verse 22. It says, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. And he brought her to the man. Who fashioned her? God. God designed the products. He gave her some unique parts that worked with his. Use your imagination. Them parts. It says God fashioned. You don't need to take no hormones if you need breasts. God fashioned. You don't got to go on no special pills to grow your chest. God fashioned. Don't need no silicone implantation. Oh, yeah, I know about them. God fashioned. God fashioned. Look at this verse though. He did not tell Adam to marry her. It says he brought her to the man. The word brought in Hebrew means to display. He just displayed. He said, take a look at that. Now, look at the line I have underlined. What does it say? We'll say it loud. And man said. In other words, now God didn't say anything here. God just showed the guy the woman. Because God ain't never going to choose your mate. Don't believe anyone who comes and tells you, I had a dream last night. The Holy Ghost told me you're supposed to be my husband. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But I got a revelation. You're supposed to be my wife. No, the Lord spoke to me. And he said that if the woman comes in with a green dress, that's the one. That's the devil giving you green. God will not choose your spouse. If he ever did, he violates your will. He just displayed her. The man started talking. Let's read what he said. Ready? Adam talking now. This is now bone of my bone. Boy, man is talking big, eh? Men like talk. Ooh, she's cute. She got high bone cheeks. Big hips. Man like talk, but bone. Breasts look good. This guy prophesied. Flesh of my flesh, he says. She shall be called. And then he named her Wound Man. Because she's the man with the womb. Do you know in Hebrew, when you name something, you own it? Did you know that? That's the Hebrew concept of naming. When you name something, it's yours. Write that down, please. It's important. When I was in my Hebrew class in college, and they taught that through the Bible, you'll discover that God named things. Matter of fact, even if you want to control a demon, you got to name it. That's why demons don't tell you their names. A spiritual law is this. Whatever you can name, you can control. When Jesus was in the graveyard one time, there was a man there. And the man was possessed with demons. Now, Jesus Christ got to deal with these demons. So what does he do? His first question is important. He asked the man, the demon, he said, what is your name? Because once I got your name, I got you. Once he gave him the name, Christ said, good, now I know who you are. Get out! And he left. He said, okay, we know we have to leave, but can you let us go into the pigs, they said. Now, why is this so important? This is why, please listen to me, this is why when you get married, you lose your name. Whoever name you take is responsible for you. So when a person gets married and uses a hyphen name, it means they are not completely submitted to the marriage. And that's why the man in the marriage has psychological problems with the woman. Because he, in the back of his mind, will know forever she ain't never completely mine. So watch those hyphens. It means I'm completely submitted to you. Which means you ain't completely responsible for me. What is the last name of President Clinton's wife? Think about it. Hillary Rodham Clinton. She never gave it up. So I'm wondering why this man has difficulties with other women. Don't always blame the guy. He's battling psychological problems. He's battling even spiritual issues. He's feeling like you ain't ever left your father. Why are you so quiet? This is a spiritual problem. Adam says, you shall be called woman. But he wasn't finished then. Afterwards, he named her again. He said, you shall be called Eve. Adam named her, not God. The minute you name them, you own them. They are your responsibility. And that's why the next statement says, for this cause. What cause? When you name them. For this cause should a man leave his mother and father and take care, cleave, be responsible for his wife. She went from woman to wife. See the change? What's between woman and wife? Name. I don't know which of you in this room are married and have a hyphen name, but I pray right now, you will change that situation. Wife. By the way, the word cleave means to chase. Write that down. It's important. For this cause should a man what? Chase after his wife. This is very different from what you thought. We normally chase after the woman to marry her. And then when she stops and let us catch her, then she becomes our wife. And then we stop chasing. But the Bible says the opposite. It says, after you marry her, then chase her. That means no one else should be in front of you, you trying to get. Now, of course, women, your job is you got to remain chaseable. In other words, if you was good looking before, you're supposed to be better looking afterwards. If you control your weight before, Lord help me now, you should control your weight even more because you want to keep chasing you, baby. Chase. Some men look at you and say, I tired running. You ain't attractive no more to me. I look at my wife this morning when she's getting ready. I went, I felt like missing church. Come on, fire, baby. Come on, fire, baby. Chaseable. Don't let your breast dry on the ground no more. Oh, coming home now. Don't let him catch you in no flannel nightdress with long socks and time on your head. Talking about welcome home. Welcome who? No. For this cause should a man leave his mother and father and continue to chase his wife. She's already married. Before he got married to you, you always smelled good. And all of a sudden now, don't go there. Okay, I ain't going there. Oh, Jesus, help me. Please, God. Holy Ghost, I need you. The Word of God is so rich. Some men are in shock when they wake up. Here's my suggestion, ladies. Get up before he wakes up. And then quickly put on the bride of Christ. Come back in and says, wake up there, wake up there. Sometimes you think some men sleep in here. They just don't open their eyes. They close their eyes as long as possible. Wait till you leave the bed. They ain't sleeping. They waiting for you to leave. I got to see something pleasant in the morning. First thing I see is a monster? No, man. I got to see something pleasant. Guy work all day. I mean, he work all day. Come home, he want to see something pleasant. She come there, hair in rollers, fly swat in her hand. Still got on a nightdress. Hey, baby, I done cook, you know. The guy, I come right back. I come right back. And he goes down to the club and sits on the stool until he thinks you have recovered. Yeah, he said, I ain't coming home right now. I'm busy. Chase his wife. That's what it means. So men, you're supposed to chase only her. No more gone tails. Clap, man. Clap, clap. Brothers, clap. I watch it. Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, boy, clap. You don't chase no more gown tail. Only one tail you chase. That's your wife. But make sure the tail is beautiful, ladies. It's a tough one today. You all look at me like they're crazy. Can you tell me? I'm talking to you. Watch this. He says, for this cause should a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall what? Become one flesh. The word become means process. You ain't one flesh at the altar. You are one spirit. Now notice, it never says you become one spirit. Never says that. Why? You are also, you're supposed to already be one spirit. Both of you are supposed to have the spirit of God. The worst part is the flesh part. Getting to become one with all of your personality problems, your physical issues, your emotional issues, that takes a while. Marriage is complicated. That's why the flesh takes a long time. The last part, he says, for marriage, he says, by the way, this is still Adam prophesying. Adam says, and the man and his wife will be naked and not be ashamed. Don't take that lightly. Here's what he means. When you are married, legally married, and you stand before each other with no clothes on, there is no guilt in your mind. I know some of you have been married for a while, still trying to figure out, I never thought I'd walk in front of a person with nothing on. And you can do it without any sense of fear or guilt. All of a sudden, it's free to do it. So here's what he means. If you are in a relationship with two people who are naked and you feel guilty, you are the wrong person. You don't understand what I just said. If me and you in the hotel room and both of us scared, we ain't supposed to be together. That's what he means. No shame. If you are afraid to be discovered, you're supposed to be naked together. Take a deep breath. Come on, take a deep breath. You need some oxygen. So check your level of guilt. It measures the sanctity of your relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, marriage is God's product. It predates all other institutions. Marriage is the first foundation of the family. Marriage is God's ideal context for human social development. He expected kids to come through a marriage, not in the back of a car. Listen to me. If you study a nation is simply a collection of communities, which is a collection of families, which is a product of marriage. So your nation is only as strong as your marriages. So when you destroy a marriage, you're destroying the country. And this is why God was so violent against marriage being treated lightly. He knew that if you destroy the marriage, you destroy the community. And the community will destroy the country. That's why God even used penalties like death for adultery. God don't want to kill anybody. He wanted us to be so aware of the danger of it. He gave a penalty of death. May God have mercy on us. Please buy this CD today. Write this down. Marriage is the context for successful human relationships. Intimately. You shouldn't be intimate until you are married. You can hold my hand, that's it. And even that gets a little interesting. But we get this whole thing, you know, how far can we go? Let's push the envelope. Let's see how far we can go without doing it. Intimacy is for marriage. human needs marriage to feel safe. As a child, those of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You and your parents didn't stay together, and you still got some situations in your back of your mind you don't even talk about. There's some things that you don't even talk to no one about because your parents were divorced. And you carry them to your grave. It's like, because you weren't born to be without that safety net. My daughter called me one time. She said, "Daddy, I just need to talk to her, Daddy." That's what she said. I dropped everything. She said, "I got some decisions to make, and I need to talk to my daddy. Not my mother, my daddy." There's some things that your kids need to hear from you as a father. Mom is nice, but there is that thing that God has in that thing. But you need to talk to your daddy. I got to make a decision, and I need a father's voice. I got to hear a father's voice. And he wasn't there. Some of you survived only by the grace of God. I'm talking to men and women. Some of you men never heard your daddy give you any sensible advice. And you made some dumb mistakes as a man. You trying to figure out, how did I get like this? Because your father wasn't there. You know what Paul told the church in Corinth in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians? Something I couldn't figure out. As a matter of fact, Paul told them something that in Vain Town they tell us not to do. They tell us in Vain Town, don't stay together for the children's sake. Get out of there. And Paul said, even if you are not getting along, stay together, at least, he said, for the children's sake. Safety net. Let's fight this thing. Let's try everything we can for their sake. Because remember, in Malachi, God says, I made you to one because I desired righteous seed. This wasn't about you two. It's about them kids. Marriage is not for the people in it. It's for the product it produces. The safety net has a hole in it, and the kids fell through it, and they landed in a daycare center. They landed with a grandmother. They landed in the lap of a stepfather who abused them. Marriage is the kingdom's foundation for social development. That's why we got so many dysfunctional young people. You know, I don't care how people try to convince me. Well, you know, even though they've got divorced, the kid is psychologically sound. Oh, really? Oh, really? You don't know. People in here got degrees from college, master's degree, PhD, and can't stay married. And also can't tell you why. My sister, Sheila, how long have you been married? 43 years. It's my sister. Suzanne, how long you was married? 35 years of my other sister. Widow, how long he was married? 38 years. Same husband, all of them. Something in our family. We had a mother and a father who was married for 50 years. There was a net. I've been married to my wife for 32 years this year. Listen, marriage was God's foundation for social development. None of our kids in jail. None of my parents' kids in jail. No one ever been in jail. Corporals don't know what that looks like. Police only see them on the road, hail them. What? How can you bring up 11 kids and none in jail? There must be something about that 50-year marriage. Safety net. Don't take this teaching lightly, please. I am not here to talk about your ordeal. I am here to speak about his ideal. I know you have your issues. I'm not ignoring that. As a matter of fact, 50% of all groups in the Bahamas now, 50% probably are divorced. So I'm aware of that. Okay, I'm aware of that. But I'm supposed to preach your problems. I got to preach the word of God. I got to correct what's going wrong. I'm supposed to give you God's rebuke and correction and instruction for righteousness. That's what the word of God is good for. We got to make sure it doesn't happen to you anymore. Are you with me, Pastor? Yeah? Okay. Write this down. A successful marriage has little to do with love. Love is not the qualification for marriage. Get that through your head, please. Because love is a dangerous thing. Love will make you think you can make it. Every divorced person in this room was first in love with the person they divorced. So don't tell me love keeps it together. Secondly, love does not guarantee success in marriage. And thirdly, love brings happiness, but it doesn't bring what it takes to make marriage work. As a matter of fact, the only thing that makes marriage work is knowledge, like anything else. Success does not depend on what we know alone, nor how we feel. We got to get both of them. You feel like you love someone, but you better get knowledge on how to live with them. And we are such a feeling culture that our insanity takes us to the altar, dressed in fine clothes, totally insane, making commitments we know we can't keep.
Until death do us part.
The death of what? The death of the feeling? Marriage is not protected by love. It's protected by knowledge. And that's why coming to these sessions are so important, because we are dealing with information to protect you. Please write this down quick before we close. I'm going to give you what marriage comes from. The word marriage is from the word gameo. Very interesting word that's used in the Bible. That's the word marriage means. It's the word gameo. It's from the word gem. Now, why is that important? A gem is a fusion. In other words, gems are like diamonds and sapphire and emeralds and rubies, you know, products that come from heat and pressure. That's the word God used for marriage. He said marriage is a fusion that is made valuable under pressure. It takes heat to make a good marriage. You got to go through some stress. Marriage is the fusion of two distinctly different humans into one flesh. In other words, marriage requires a lifetime of fusion to be completed. That means that true marriage doesn't become weaker under pressure. It's supposed to become stronger under pressure. But do you know that the hardest substance in the world, the hardest substance in the world today is a diamond? Did you know that? And you cannot cut a diamond with anything except another diamond. How does a diamond become a diamond? Under pressure. Matter of fact, here's how a diamond is created. First, it begins with porous material. The diamond on your ring right now, if it's a real one, started with being wood, a piece of wood. And the wood is under pressure and is buried under the ground. Earth pushes it underground. Like the earthquake's movement, they push these substances under the ground. And then when it gets hidden, it becomes pressured by the weight of the earth. The pressure creates, over time, what we call fusion. Fusion is when the particles around the piece of wood pushes in from the pressure and it compacts the compounds in the wood. And it actually what it called crystallized compound. It becomes a crystal first. And then if it stays under pressure long enough, it becomes a diamond. And you discover it and you put it on display afterwards. In other words, you never display a piece of wood. You display what? Diamonds. You don't wear wood on your finger. You are not ready to brag about your marriage until you survive about 40 years. You walk across and say, we've been married for 3 years, praise the Lord. 3? Welcome to the beginning. And people don't understand. The difficulties in the marriage comes to fuse you, not to confuse you. I want to give an example. Can you two help me, please? This don't mean nothing, okay? But okay, I want you to face each other. Just face each other. Okay, I want to show what happens in relationships. Okay? Here's a husband and a wife. By faith. And, okay, so they meet each other and they get married. Now, they're looking at each other, they face to face. That's the problem in marriage, we're face to face. That's the problem. Because when the world's pressure hit her, and hit her, who's she looking at? So when she feels the pressure, bam, she blames it on what she's looking at. The pressure to hit him, bam, bills, bam, mortgage payment. Who's she looking at? Her. You see, whatever you're looking at takes the blame. You can get this when I'm leaving. This is not the way you're supposed to be married. Because this doesn't fuse you, it confuses. It creates problems. So he starts saying to her, if I didn't marry you, wouldn't have all these bills. And she said to him, if you didn't give me them children, you wouldn't have to buy flour pack. I mean milk. In other words, they start blaming and attacking the very person they love. Turn around, back to back. That's the way you're supposed to be married. Now, let me give you a revelation you will never forget. In the Bible, in the manual, the Bible says that you are supposed to be protected by the armor of God. You have the helmet of salvation. You get the shield, the breastplate of righteousness. You got the loincloth of truth. And you got the shoe of the gospel. You got a shield in your hand. And you got a sword. Now, how am I going to win if I attack you? The only place, according to the Bible, where there's no protection is your back. The devil loves to come against you and hit you in the back. But look at them. When he attacks the marriage, if he comes against the guy can fight him. And guess what the Bible says the guy is looking at? He's looking at the devil. So he doesn't blame his wife about the fight. He blames the guy he's looking at. He said, this is the devil trying to destroy my home. And so he attacks the devil. We keep attacking the very person we love. So the devil attacks her. And she got weapons. And she says, devil, you leave my husband alone. Leave my kids. And she fights the right person. And the more he pushes her, and pushes her, and pushes him, they keep fusing and fusing until they become one. And when the devil slaps her,
He'd slap him back. You touch her, you touch me. You touch him, you touch me. In other words, they become so one that any attack is against both of them. That's marriage. So the devil sends some little demons. And they're trying to get in between here. See? It might be an old girlfriend. Or an ex-boyfriend. See? They come in subtly. Subtly. But they keep pushing. And now you're exposed. It destroys you. Pressure creates fusion. You become a diamond. Marriage is not about what you achieved. It's about what you survived. You could achieve all kind of great stuff and still lose your marriage. Big business, no home. A lot of money, no wife, no husband. Big promotion, no children. They're in the base house and drugs. What are we doing? And so God says, I will make you the two one. The two shall become one. And when I try to get to his wife, I got to go through him. When I try to get to her husband, I have to go through her. So suddenly, the beautiful thing is, she starts fighting for him. And he starts fighting, not against, but for her. Do you fight for your wife? Do you fight for your husband? Do you defend him? It's marriage. We need to get back to the kingdom standards. Now you see why those who ain't married yet are glad they ain't married. Take your time. Don't rush, okay, baby? Take your time. Don't let no man wink at you and think he got covered. He won't face you face to face. You want somebody who can hold you back to back, not belly to belly. Don't finish that song, please. Oh, Lord, look at them evil minds. Oh, God, have mercy. Rich, we got to pray for this whole church sometime. You know, we got to pray Jesus save them. Anybody understand what I'm talking about here? Does it make sense to you? That's the way you get married, just like that. That's marriage right there. You protect each other. Thank you all very much. You all look good together, boy. My Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. So, write this down. This is the big statement. Marriage is the collision of two histories. Get it? When two people get married, two people did not get married. Two histories got married. And this is why marriage is so complicated. The Bible is an amazing book. I still think we don't understand how inspired this book is. The Bible says something very simple. But I finally figured it out. The Bible says, marry the wife of your youth. Now, years ago when I read it, I'm like, you mean God wants to marry young? Yes. Do you know why? Because you ain't got no history yet. See, the older you get married, the more history I got to live with. If you're 42 years old, and I'm 42 years old, in one night, 82 years in the bed, 84. Lord, I'm in big trouble. But if you 20 and I 20, we only got 40.
Here's my conclusion. The older you are, the more careful you better be. You meet somebody who's 52 and you 22. This is an interesting combination. How are you going to change that history? You can't change that person. They always pee with the waistline down. You pee with it up. And for 50 years, he been doing that. And all of a sudden, you 22. You got to stop that. Bam! Big slap. Domestic violence. Listen. am I too straight today? Okay. See, I ain't got no time to play games, man. Too much trouble in this church and other churches. People falling apart. And they don't understand why. So if you're 45 today, and you meet someone who's 45, and you all take a liking to each other, well, praise the Lord for that. But just remember that statement. That ain't no person. That's history walking down the aisle in that brown dress. I mean that white dress. Brown? Whew, I'm under the anointing. We walk down the church in our beautiful gown, and the guy standing there with this tuxedo with slow shine shoes, and you are all excited. You got your bridesmaids with you, and everybody's da-dun, 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 da-dun. You're going towards 50 years of disaster. Da-da. Da-da. 50 years of habits. Da-da. Da-da. 50 years of secrets. Da-da. 50 years of kids in Canada and Andrews. Da-da. Clap, clap, clap. Get it over with. Get it over with. That ain't no person. That's not a person. That's a history. Think about it. Yeah. And then you wake up the next morning. 50 years in the bed plus 50 years is 100 years. Instantly 100 years in the house. And you don't know nothing about the other 50. And so the rest of your marriage is called Age of Discovery. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Yeah. And most of your conversation sounds like this. I didn't know that either. Discovery. Welcome to Discovery. You call it marriage. I call it the age of discovery. You got AIDS? Yes. Didn't take a blood test. You got how many children? You mean the one at the door from Canada is yours? Oh, I forget. There's three more also in Timbuktu. Oh, discovery. You was abused by your father? Oh, is that why we can't have sexual intercourse freely? Why didn't you tell me? Why are you so nervous when I touch you? History. You were abused by your father? Is that why you're homosexually inclined? Why didn't you tell me? Age of discovery. Don't take it lightly. I got an email the other day. The question. The guy says, I am 57 and I met a young lady who's 18. I need your advice. And I got advice in it. Yeah. I get all kinds of requests from all over the world. It's a real question. Two histories. Marriage write this down. Marriage is not the coming together of two people. It's the clash of two cultures, two experiences, two memories, two habits, two moral standards, and two values. And that is a formula for destruction. That's what it is. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I can't find no one in my church to marry. So I go in to find someone outside. Now listen to carefully now. I know it's tough sometimes to find people who you're interested in. I know that. I agree with that. But the problem is, wherever you get them from, that's what you got. And I prefer to get someone who had the same exposures that I had, the same knowledge that I got, so we ain't got to explain too much to each other. If I got to define every word you and I talk about, we can spend most of our time defining words, not communicating. Abraham was interesting. Abraham had a son. His name was what? Isaac. Abraham said, okay, my son is now of the age that he should be married. Abraham was living in a certain village. All right? Abraham called his servant. He says, okay, servant, I want you to go and find a wife for my son. And then he says, go to the other town among my people. Very interesting instructions. Now, he already living in a town with a lot of people. A lot of pretty girls there. He said, no. Go to the other town among my people and find a wife for my son from among my people. What he's saying is, I don't want him to marry nobody who got a different God, a different culture, belief system. Let them come under what you are learning. Bring them under your exposure. So if somebody say he like you, bring him to BFM. You BFM member, you tell him, you got to go with me. Why? I want you to hear what I'm hearing. Because when I talk to you, I don't want to interpret nothing. Let's get the same language out of the way so we can communicate. You say to him, let's speak in tongues. He think you mean kissing. Two different languages. Y'all are slow. Miss that one. You know, you say, let's hold hands to do body ministry. He go, yeah. Wrong interpretation. Say, let's take 10% of our money and give to tithing. What? My money? Big fight in the house. You understand if he doesn't. Conflict. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. Words of God. Write this third one down. Very important. Marriage is the beautiful accommodation of another life. You accommodate another person into your life. Wow. Boy, that's a beautiful challenge. You make room for someone in your life who is different from you. That's marriage. They don't think like you. They don't look like you. They don't act like you. And you got to accommodate them for the rest of your life. That's marriage. And the only way to survive that is knowledge. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. I used to wonder what that means. If you try to live with somebody and that's what you're living with, you need plenty love to cover plenty sin. Endurance is what it takes to be married. And so, this is why marriage ain't simple. It takes patience to live with discoveries. It takes adjustment to accept a surprise. Sometimes we feel betrayed. You ain't betrayed. You just didn't ask the questions before you got married. get my book on dating out there, please. In the book on dating, I give you 100 questions to ask a person on a date. Don't ignore those questions. Those questions make the person tell you as much as possible before you are interested in them. Because maybe on number 52, you say, forget it. I don't want to work with this. You don't wait till you're married and start figuring out the questions. Do you know why they call dating courtship? You put the person in court. And you put them on trial. And whenever you can put a person on trial, they are the worst witness. Come on, lawyers, talk to me. The person on trial should not be the one in the witness box. You call other witnesses to testify on their behalf to see if what they claim is true. Because witnesses will always, the person who is being tried will always tell a lie. Are you good? I'm a good person. Let me go ask your mom. Don't ask my mom. Don't ask my mother. Don't ask my mother. That's my mama. I'm a good person. No, your mother's a better witness. Courtroom. And if they pass the courtroom test and you are satisfied that what this person has told you is at least 80% correct, then you decide you are guilty of being what I want. And I'm going to lock you up in the institution called marriage. Yeah. I could live with you in prison forever. That's what it means. It's an institution. You see me? I lock up this woman. May not lock right up in the marriage institution. And guess what? We don't want to break jail. Clap, 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 clap. Yeah, don't come get us. We like being locked up. Mm-hmm. This is a good lockup institution. We can pick it up next time.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.